Have you ever been tempted to give up or check out in your walk with God? Have you been at a place in life's journey where you felt overwhelmed and overshadowed by life's obstacles, setbacks, or heartaches? It could be you're at such a place right now, a place where you are hungering for hope. If so, then Hope Along the Journey podcast is a ministry of encouragement created specifically with you and others just like you in mind. And now, here is your host, Mark Cravens, to share a word of encouragement with you today.
Thank you so much for joining us today for this episode of Hope Along the Journey. Hi, I'm Mark Cravens, and I am your podcast host, and it's a joy to have you with us today as we share with you a message of hope, encouragement, and insight, lifting up Jesus Christ as the true hope of the world. It's a joy today to have with me by way of Zoom none other than Julie Sunny. Julie, welcome to Hope Along the Journey.
Thanks, Mark. It's a delight to be here with you.
And all the way out in the state, beautiful state of Iowa. So what's it like out in Iowa right now on this summer day?
Well, it's a nice day. It's sunny and about, lower 80s. So Iowa, the part of Iowa I live in is just, it's beautiful. I mean, Iowa has a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. And we live in kind of a rolly, wooded, interspersed with cattle. And so it's a pretty area.
Sounds beautiful. It doesn't sound like Cincinnati, Ohio at all.
Well, every state has its thing, you know?
Yeah, it does. Well, we're going to be sharing a wonderful message of hope here in just a few moments with Julie. But before we do that, I'd like to encourage you, my friend, if you would, to go to our website and sign up for our upcoming newsletter. The website is www.hopealongthejourney.org. Again, that's www.hopealongthejourney.org. When you get there, there'll be a pop-up screen that'll say, stay in touch. And if you will put your email address in there, we'll add you to the upcoming newsletter that'll give you some special information about upcoming events. There'll be a devotional. We oftentimes share remarks from listeners. So we'd love to have you part of that newsletter family. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram. Also, you can find me under Mark Cravens at LinkedIn. We'd love to connect with you through social media. Let us know that you're listening and let us know what you think about the Hope Along the Journey podcast. Again, it's good to have Julie with us today. She's a wife and mother. She balances her work as a writer and editor with caring for her family of six. Wow. Which includes two young adults and two teenagers. Her life has been complicated by many difficult circumstances, including multiple miscarriages and a daughter who has significant disabilities, and she'll be sharing about that with us today. And yet, in spite of that, she has learned to let God fill her with joy and with peace in spite of the messy situations that life brings. She's also the author of a book, a devotional book called Everyday Praise, Walking in Greater Peace. So again, Julie, thanks for joining us here today.
Oh, it's a joy, Mark. I'm glad to be here.
So I told you we want to kind of begin today just by you sharing with us the story behind what prompted you, what led you to do the ministry you do today through writing. You're a blogger. I always love the fact that on LinkedIn, I think every day you share some Bible verse out there, and it's always very uplifting. But what were the circumstances? What's the story behind what makes Julie do what she does and to write this blog and to reach out to other people?
Yeah, Mark, it was quite an interesting journey. I did not set out, like probably most of us, I didn't set out to be doing what I'm doing right now. My actual writing journey stemmed out of miscarriages that I had early on, and then also with my daughter. But it still would not have been enough for God walking me through those difficulties for me to write if it wasn't for my oldest son. I have to update your biography just a little bit. My kids are now all out of the house. I have a daughter who is still at home, the one with the disabilities, and she is now an adult. So we are caregivers full time for her. But my oldest son back in 2011 felt like I had enough to share with others and wanted to get me a blog online, and I wanted nothing to do with it. I grew up in the old ages where, right, you know, we had right. the hard line, and that was it. Hard line phone, and that was it. And I really didn't want to be out there. I didn't understand the technology, but he saw something. He knew that I liked to encourage people, and he had seen me walk through the trials that God has brought us through. And I'll go into those in specifics and in a little bit here. And he really encouraged me. He said, "Mom, I really think you have a lot to share and encourage with people. And I think you need to do that. And I'll help you." I said, "I have no idea how to do it." He said, "Just don't worry about it. I'll help you." So he set me up on the free WordPress got me going on there. And I was determined at that point. I thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to give it my all.
That's great.
So with a lot of prayer and trepidation, I started blogging 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And that kind of led me to where I am now. And I really, in 2012, I decided God was really asking me to be writing kind of longer content into books. Mm-hmm. And so I began going to writers' conferences and pursuing that. And from that, the book publishing process is a long and drawn out and very, not a very smooth journey. Mm-hmm. But I knew God wanted me to write a devotion to encourage people to grab onto his piece. And so in 2016, I decided to self-publish, and that's where my book came out. And I continue to pursue traditional publishing, and this May, and I'll be coming out, Lifeway or B&H Publishing is going to publish another book called Sometimes I Forget For Me. So that'll be an exciting thing. But the journey began, I got married, my husband, we were both in the fish and wildlife field, and we waited a while to start our family, and thinking we knew how to do this and we knew how to do life, and life was, you know, we're good people. Life was going to go okay. And it didn't turn out to be that way. We waited a few years, and then we decided to start our family. And, I was super excited. I told all my family, we lived about 6 hours from my family. So I went home for a visit and was so excited when I got pregnant and was telling everybody. We went out and celebrated with my brothers, and I come from a family, I've 5 siblings. So there's 6 of us. And so, there was a lot of people to tell, and we were super excited. And, it wasn't too long after that when I began experiencing some symptoms of miscarriage. I began to have some bleeding, and I remember how alone I felt. Like I said, we were 6 hours from family, so we didn't really have a lot of people right there with us. Mm-hmm. And it was a very scary time going to the doctor's office. I had not been to the doctor that much. We had only moved there, probably maybe 6 months earlier. And I really didn't have much support. I went into the doctor's office and I was praying and just thinking, you know, hopefully things are gonna be okay. Done things right. Sure, yeah. I try to be careful. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Well, we're not seeing much. Why don't you come back in a week and we'll know. The baby just doesn't seem to be growing." So during that time was a very, very scary time. I was singing to my baby, just, you know, encouraging you know, it's going to be okay. Of course I was pouring out to God, and in that cold, sterile room, we were pretty much told the next appointment that there was no heartbeat. The baby was gone. That, Mark, sent me into a very, just spiraled into some depression. Mm-hmm. My husband and I were not on the same page with that necessarily. He felt badly for me, but, he grieved differently than I do. And sure, we find that men often don't maybe share their feelings, mm-hmm, as much as women. And so it's, you don't always see that he was grieving as well as I, and I didn't see that real well. And I felt very alone, mm-hmm, and I spiraled into a very deep, deep, dark place. In fact, to the point where I was not able to even get out of bed at one point. I remember just thinking it was always going to be that I'll never have children now. You know, mm-hmm, the lies that Satan feeds you and that you allow him to
absolutely to right
tell you is just, it's amazing what things will believe. You know, it was my first pregnancy, yet I really believe that you know, I'm not gonna be able to have children. And this right. is what I wanted to be, was a mom. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing time. And I talk about this in the new book that's coming out. And I touch on it in this, in my Everyday Praise devotion as well, some of the struggles of that time. Mm-hmm. But it took the Lord to really get a hold of me and shake me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a Catholic home. I knew God from a very early age, but I didn't really understand my Lord very well. Mm-hmm. I knew him to be sovereign, and I thought that he would bless, but I didn't have a good understanding of who he was. And right. so mm-hmm. my understanding was, if I'm just a good person and I do these things, I'm going to be blessed in turn.
Right.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and so that wasn't the case, but I remember distinctly laying in bed and just not really wanting to live anymore. I didn't have any specific plans mm-hmm. for ending my life, but I just didn't want to go on. And I had a dream, and God showed me, and I don't have a lot of dreams, just to put that out there. I'm not one who has a lot of spiritual dreams, but sure. I had a dream, and the Lord showed me my daughter. He showed me this beautiful little girl, and he told me, and not audibly, but in my spirit, I heard him say, "Here's your daughter, and she's with me, and she's fine. Now you need to just get up and live." And, wow. You know, it wasn't that easy. I didn't just snap out of it, but I did. I was able to get up out of bed, and I was able to begin life again. Through the next years of that, nine pregnancies, and five of them ended in miscarriage. I had, after our first miscarriage, I had two boys, and then I had two more miscarriages. And then I had my daughter, and then I had another two miscarriages, and then I had our youngest son. And that's when we decided that was, our family would need to be complete at that point.
Yeah.
So it was a very difficult journey, but it seems like with each subsequent miscarriage, the Lord, I would push him away. I was angry. I would it was kind of a seesaw type of experience, Mark. I would come out like I did with the first miscarriage. The Lord would pursue me, and I would answer him and respond to him, and I would start to grow closer to him. And then I'd have these joys of these beautiful, precious babies, you know, and then I would have another miscarriage, and I would become so angry, mm-hmm. and I would push God away and try to run away. And another, after my second miscarriage, I remember just running into the woods and just falling on the damp and a damp path and just screaming, you know, why? I don't understand. You know, you give me such hope, and then, you know, it's taken away. And, mm-hmm. but every single time, the Lord never left me, and he was patient with me. He kind of wooed me, and he would just draw me back to him, and I couldn't resist him.
Right.
And so I continued to, you know, I'd draw closer after, it seemed like after each time I'd push him away, and then he would stay there with me in my pain, and I'd come back to him. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, then after our daughter was born, we started having a lot of struggles with her right from the start. She was born with a cleft palate, and about 6 weeks, she quit breathing on us, and we found out she had some heart issues. Otherwise, she seemed to be a normal, mm-hmm. you know, baby, normally developing baby, until she was a few months old, and we realized that she was not meeting some of the milestones. Now, at that time, I had two boys, so I knew somewhat about what the milestones should be, and sure. she wasn't meeting those. And so we talked to a doctor, and we're referred to some specialists. And it was kind of a slow progression of realizing that our daughter she wasn't developing like a typical child should develop. And her brain was not, she was not able to intellectually, through the years, we discovered that intellectually she was very delayed in her growth. And So it was, like I said, it was a slow progression. So about the time she was four, she had just started to walk with the help of a cane. We kind of progressed her through the steps until she was doing a cane and took her few independent steps. She still was not speaking at age four. And, So we kind of pursued some help. We looked into genetics. We tried to figure out what was going on. We tried to get the answers. We wanted a diagnosis. We still to this day do not have, there's a lot of specifics to that, but we don't have a diagnosis for why she is delayed. She has maybe at 25, she's 25 right now. She has maybe a dozen words.
Wow.
She walks, but she can't really run. She's a joy. I mean, just a delight. She loves people. God has just, he's poured so much love in and through her. And she loves people. She doesn't want anybody angry. So we have to hug when we're together. And she pulls people to the point where we got to watch at church a little bit that she doesn't grab some elderly people and pull them around because she tries to drag everybody together. She's just so joyful. She's not toilet trained. There's a lot of self-help things there, but my faith has grown so much, Mark, from having her in my life and through the subsequent miscarriages, because I had two after she was born, you know, the Lord equipped, when I look back on the journey, the Lord really equipped me to, He prepared me for Rachel's disabilities. Yes. And he prepared me to do what I'm doing now, to reach out to people, to encourage people, to empathize, have compassion. My faith has grown so much. I would not be the person I am today. I would be a very selfish,
sure.
I can see where I was back then and I look at where I was now. And would I want to go through the same things? Yeah, well, you know, not each individual thing, probably
right,
not.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to trade it because I am so much better.
Yeah.
So much better. And always, I would say.
Julie, that is just remarkable what you have shared. And just, and I know people can't see your facial expressions, but I can see it. Mm-hmm. And even as you talk, it's like some of that, the memory of that pain comes back. And it's hard even to put into words, isn't it? What you really were feeling during that time.
Yeah.
You know, we said something before the podcast about that oftentimes in dealing with miscarriages, especially, that we have a tendency to like minimize or try to dismiss it. But a lot of women do deal with miscarriages and,
absolutely.
You know, why is that we oftentimes just try to kind of brush it off or dismiss it? And is it really helpful to do that?
No, it's absolutely not helpful, Mark. Not at all. Because you carry those losses with you forever. You know, I miss knowing what those children would have been like. And you know, the minute I think a woman finds out she's pregnant, we begin to, and even before that, we begin to kind of imagine what the life with that little one would be like.
Sure.
And, you know, in the years that you would be able to grow together. And I think there's a lot of reasons we minimize. I think one of the reasons, and we spoke about this a little bit, I really think that we're terrible as people. We are very good, I guess, at comparison. And it's a real detriment to so many things in our life. And I think we compare our suffering, honestly.
Yes.
And, you know, what I told you was I even do it with my daughter who has disabilities. It's like, well, she isn't as health compromised as, you know, that person is dealing with a child. So where am I to speak into that? Mm-hmm. I think it's easy for us to minimize our own pain and our own suffering because we see other people who have it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, that person, you know, I might have had a miscarriage, but that person had three miscarriages. You know,
right.
I might have had five miscarriages, but that person lost, you know, two babies or, you know, a 10-year-old or, you know, and I think that's a real problem because suffering is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure
you know, I
is.
Think if we look at scripture, you know, God is there in all of our pain and in all of our suffering. He doesn't minimize and say, only come to me if you have this amount of suffering, you know?
That's exactly right.
He's like, come and I will give you peace, you know? So I think that's a real issue. I think another one is, you know, how good are we at really facing pain and walking through pain with other people? Mm-hmm. We would rather turn around and just kind of gloss over it or, you know, expect them to get over it. And another thing is we don't understand it necessarily because we can't.
Unless you've been through it, you probably don't understand it.
Right.
Do you?
Right. Because you don't, you know, oh, okay. But you didn't even feel that baby kick. You know what, and we can minimize it that way as well. But, you know, a life is a life, Mark. And
yes, it is.
And all those dreams, when you have a miscarriage, the dreams end so abruptly and so quickly. And you, of course, you're left with wondering, could I have done something different? Is it my fault? You know, and I've done that with the miscarriages. I've done that with my daughter, you know, could I have done something different to prevent whatever, you know, whatever is causing her symptoms.
And the devil really likes to torment our minds with those kind of thoughts, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
And we just spiral downward into more doubt and despair, self-blame and self-doubt. It's a hard cycle to get out of. But for the grace of God, a lot of people never pull out of it, do they, Julie?
No, they don't. And I think that's where we as Christ followers and fellow sufferers need to speak into, you know, we need to be there. And that's what I'm so grateful for, what the Lord has done in my life, because Amen. He's really, he has allowed me to grow empathy and compassion for others and not to just be locked in my own self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, I wouldn't say most of us, but for a lot of us, it takes that to...
Yes, it does.
To pull us away from ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're born in sin. And I think that comes across, you know, we need something to kind of shake us up and help us move out of our own self-centeredness.
That's so true. You know, one of the, you've said so many wonderful things, man, there are so many directions we could go, but I would like to ask you this question. So, God, I love what you said about God wouldn't let you go. God pursued you. Mm-hmm. What would be maybe like one thing, especially you feel like all of this has taught you about God himself through this? What have you learned about God through it?
I think probably one of the most important things that I've learned through it is that God is bigger and so beyond anything we can imagine, Mark. And I say that because we like to box God in, mm-hmm. and we want to know and understand everything that's happening to us. And sometimes we even bargain with him about that. Mm-hmm. But because he is so much greater and so much bigger and so much more loving and so much more just and holy than we can even imagine, we can trust those promises he makes to us. That's where, right. mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people talk about the promises God makes and they're incredibly important and we need to know those, mm-hmm. but the promises are only as good as the one who makes them.
Right.
And I think the thing I've learned so much about God is the more I know God, the more that I can trust those promises.
That's right.
I can't trust that he's going to be with me if I don't know that he is all loving, if I don't know that he is omnipresent,
right.
You know, all present, always going to be there. You know, his unchangeability is just critical to us being able to trust him.
That's right. And you don't know that he can heal the broken heart if you've never had a broken heart.
Right. His faithfulness is just...
Yeah.
You know, is so critical and so key to traveling the road mm-hmm. of this suffering life. Yeah, you know,
that's right.
If you have not experienced struggles, you will. It's part of this life. It just is.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And so we have to know that there's something out there beyond that suffering. And the only way we know that is if we know the one who created us and who created the universe.
Amen.
And who doesn't
that's
leave
right.
us just to, you know, to flounder around here. You know, there's something beyond, and to know that I think so often we kind of play him as sort of a, like I did in the beginning, you know, if I'm good enough, if I put in enough of my good, coins, yep. if so to speak, he's going to spit out those good things in turn. And that's such a demeaning, image of who God is.
God becomes a vending machine, you know, just put in the money and pull the lever and you get what you paid for. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. But when we realize that all of God's nature works together and all of who he is what we can hang our hat on, so to speak. Right. It's what we can put our hope on. Mm-hmm. It's the reason I can stand here and say, I lost those five babies, but I'm going to get to see them again. And to be able to say that with conviction, because I know the Lord that I serve, mm-hmm. and he has been faithful through my life. Has he stopped all the suffering? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But he's redeemed it, which is a much greater thing in my book.
Amen. That's wonderful. One last question I want to ask you, because I know this is a question that I've been asked by people who go through traumatic events like this. Mm-hmm. And it's something like this. Will I ever be happy again? Mm-hmm. How do I move from the sadness that I feel to ever feeling joy again? There, because you probably were there, you wondered, will the sun ever shine again? Will joy ever come back?
Yeah.
How does that happen? How do you move from that sadness to where joy comes again? Weeping endures for the night, joy comes in the morning. How do you move from that night of grief and loss to the joy that comes in the morning?
Yeah, I think there's a few steps in there. And first of all, I think you need to give yourself some grace and give yourself time and know that, you know, keep reminding yourself this moment is a moment. This season is a season.
It's good advice, yeah.
And those seasons too will pass, just like, you know, you may have had a good season previously. You know, you might have been filled with happiness in something that's going on. The life is ebb and flows, and you have to realize that this is just that, just this time period, and it too will move on. Another important component of that is leaving, not closing out God, leaving the door open for him to work. Now, I said I had pushed him away at arm's length, then I did, but there was always, I was always open to what he might do at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he never disappeared. He always came back after me. To give yourself the grace to be okay with grieving, but not to allow yourself to stay in that space, mm-hmm. and allow the Holy Spirit and the Lord to work in your life. I think also one of the things that was really important to me, Mark, was that I was able to reach out. There came a point in my life when I reached out to others with my pain and used it. Like, we didn't have a diagnosis for Rach. We still really don't have a diagnosis for her. But to be able to form a support group, a parent group for others that are struggling the same stuff, that really helped me. It really ministered to me. I think that was also important. And to just keep taking that next breath. Mm-hmm. In the moment now, sometimes that's all you can do is just, I can breathe this moment. I can breathe for the next 5 minutes. I can take one more step. I can wake up, you know, I can handle one more day. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest, enemies, or one of the biggest things that the enemy throws at us is that what you just said, it's never going to end. But mm-hmm. you know, if we can just trust that the sun is going to rise tomorrow, mm-hmm. you know, every day the sun rises, it's going to rise again tomorrow. And we can just hold on for that next day. And then that's next day after that, mm-hmm. not looking into the future, you know, don't let Satan tempt you to look so far into the future. And I do that. I have to rein myself in with my daughter because it's, she can't live alone. So what happens when my husband and I are gone? And that's another whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very fearful place when I allow my thoughts to go there, but I know, because I know the Lord, I know he'll be there in the future. And the grace he gives us is a grace sufficient for right now. He's going to get you through this moment.
That's great.
Trust him for the next moment and the next moment after that.
Thank you. Julie, that's some beautiful advice. Thank you for taking the time to share that. And thank you for taking the time to share your story today. Before we wrap things up, would you mind giving our listeners like some contact information? How can they find out more about you? How can they get to your website? How could they maybe there's a mother out there or somebody who's longing to be a mother who would love to connect with you. How could people connect with you?
Oh, absolutely. I would just love for, you know, the listeners to join me on this journey because we all need each other in the journey. And I blog at juliesunne.com. That's JulieSunne.com. And I'd love to have you follow me there. I have a ebook that you can, if you just subscribe to my website, you can get an ebook on some Bible verses that will encourage you. It's an ebook that has place for you to journal. And that will also, then you also can opt into my newsletter. And I try to get a newsletter out every couple weeks to a month and of encouragement and some things that I'm learning, as well as joining me on this journey of encouragement for others. So you'll get more tips on my book that's coming out and when that'll be and that type of thing, updates on that, as well as encouragement throughout your day. And I'm also on all the social media sites, and you can find that on my website if you just want to go there, or you can just jump on Facebook and search for Julie Sunne. Sometimes it's Julie Sunne 1 because someone already stole the other handle, but so Julie Sunne or Julie Sunne 1, and that's a numeral 1. You can find me at all the social media sites, but I'd really love for you to join me. Just jump on my website is the best place. So.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Julie. I appreciate it. And we will put your website in the link. So whatever podcast venue you're looking at, if you'll scroll down below, you'll see the link to her website. Julie, again, Thank you for being with us today on Hope Along the Journey.
Oh, it's been a joy and a pleasure.
And listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. And as I always say and mean from the very bottom of my heart, Jesus Christ is truly the hope of the world. And if you will look to him, he will help you find hope along the journey. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you would like to know more about Hope Along the Journey, or if you would like to make a donation to show your support and appreciation for this ministry, then visit our website at hopealongthejourney.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for more Hope Along the Journey.